Hello, welcome in. You're listening to The Rebel Room with Taylor Byrne and my colleagues Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer, giving you everything that you need to know and probably a bunch of stuff that you don't regarding your UNLV football and basketball teams. Ray, you and I were at, let's get this over with. I know it's the beginning of the basketball season. Starts Friday, two games in the first 3 days, Friday against Morehead State at 7 p.m. and then Sunday, kind of a matinee performance, 5 o'clock, Sam Houston State, both of those games at the Thomas and Mack Center. So that's going to be the bulk of what we talk about today. But just quickly, you and I were both at the UNLV Air Force game over the weekend. Impressions?
Well, first of all, shout out to Blake Decker, the UNLV quarterback. He lasted 9 games before he got knocked out and was injured.
Just taking shots.
That offensive line was probably the worst I've seen for UNLV.
He got sacked 5 times, and the play that knocked him out at the end of the third quarter wasn't even a sack. It was on an incompletion. Just got crumpled up there. He's expected – it was like a hard shot to the hip, had to be helped off, expected to play this weekend against BYU, who was the team he had originally committed to.
Sure.
Coming out of
big game
high
for
school.
Him, a former LDS missionary. Maybe they'll go soft on him, the D-line, since he's, you know, part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, BYU's got its own issues, too. But, UNLV, 2-8 now, 1-5 in league play, I believe. The lone victory is that overtime against Fresno State, the only other victory besides that this season, 13-12 against Northern Colorado, one of the worst teams in Division I AA, which you've heard me say every week.
Well, since we're going brief on the Rebels, I thought the Air Force game kind of symbolized everything that's been wrong this year. The defense couldn't stop the run to an embarrassing tune of 342 rushing yards, most of which done by a kid who went to Centennial High here in Vegas but was not recruited by UNLV. And meanwhile, the
Wasn't offered by UNLV.
Offered by UNLV. Thank you for the correction. Secondly, the offensive line, more holes in Swiss cheese, and the Rebel quarterback has no time to do much, even though when he did, they weren't that bad. Welcome back Devontae Davis, more than 100 yards. Clearly the best player UNLV has on its roster. And you think, how could have the year been different if he played the whole time? I'm ready to talk hoop if you guys are.
Not very different. Just Case, real quick, still one of the worst 5-10 teams in the country?
I'm
not sure that there was any possible way that could have changed.
Yeah, I mean, this puts it a cherry on top, I guess, to use a cliche. But, Devontae Davis, good game. But no way, like, one player is not going to change your hopes that much.
Is Hawaii in that conversation of the 10 worst teams in the country?
I would think UNLV is a little worse, but probably in the conversation.
Well, we'll find out. Couple of weeks. So UNLV now has back-to-back road games at BYU, at Hawaii, then finishing up at home with the battle for the Fremont Cannon. That's pretty much the only thing to look forward to at this stage. I mean, I guess there's definitely a number of people out there who an upset against BYU would be huge for them, even in a meaningless season, you know, just getting your third win here at the end. But I think basically that Cannon game is what everybody's looking at. You wrote it after the game, Ray, and that's, you know, that's about all that there's left for this team. But for the basketball team, there's plenty. There's everything. They can still go undefeated, which they definitely will, right, guys?
Well, they'll at least be – when we sit down next week at this time, they'll at least be 2-0.
I'm not positive.
No way.
Morehead's pretty good.
It's Morehead State.
Yeah,
at home.
And it was Dixie State at home. It's been Fresno State at home.
Okay.
You want me to keep going?
No,
it's been Air Force at home.
They've definitely lost to worse teams. I'm with you. I think they'll be 2-0, but
I agree, but let's not. I mean, again, so many unknowns. What have we seen this team do? We saw them whoop a glorified high school team in Florida National, and we've seen them play each other. Whatever happened with the UCLA scrimmage where they lost by 30 or 40, you know, is supposedly everything that I have is closer to 30-point loss. They had broken it up. They were expecting to lose, but wanted to get some different things in there. Feel, of course, since it's close scrimmage, everybody's positive and optimistic coming out of it. They feel good about it. They, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I didn't see any of that, so there's very limited I can actually take away from it. So what we have is the Florida National game, which Cody Doolin looked great, looked exactly like what you need him to be. Can't take anything from the bigs because they're going up against nobody. But it's – I think that's a legit game as an opener. Like, this is not just we're going to completely roll over them. And if they do, that's a huge positive. to me, because Morehead State is not a complete nobody here. You think they are just because you don't know anyone on their roster, but they're good. They're coming off. They're bringing a lot of guys back from a 20-win team. Karam Ashur, the former UNLV player, is probably not even going to be a factor at all. Like, he's kind of at the end of the bench for them.
At least he's not at the end of the UNLV bench.
Why?
Frees up a scholarship.
For Dantley Walker.
Three-point expert, Dantley Walker.
Sure. Those guys will probably have similar UNLV careers, except Walker will stay longer.
Except, and he won't have a monstrous dunk from the baseline.
Yes, that's true. That was pretty great.
Yes.
But just kind of big picture stuff here, guys. What are you expecting from this year's team, both with, I mean, this brutal non-con? I don't actually want to call it brutal. I think it's a great schedule. Whether it ends up killing them or they go kind of even against it and get better from that, I think it just sets you up to learn a lot about your team, figure out how to beat great teams, which is what you want to do at the end of the year. Big picture, Ray, what do you expect out of this year's team coming off of a 20-win season where they missed the postseason?
Yeah, I think with the way UNLV's recruited, obviously we've mentioned this several times before.
As you silence your phone.
Yes, a top five recruiting class. The talent is there. The schedule.
Talent's always been there.
The schedule to develop that talent, I think it's a team who will get better as the season progresses. I think it's a team that will make the tournament, and I think it's a team that will likely lose in the first round of the tournament.
Okay. So, well, you're saying the second round, the round of 64.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Blame the NCAA. I hate them for it.
Okay.
The stupid first round, second round thing.
I mean, obviously, Doolin's a huge upgrade at point guard. Rashawn Vaughn's a player.
Rashad.
Who could score multiple ways, proven, inside out, great three-point touch. I think Chris Wood is much improved on the inside. I think they're missing one big power forward. If Ben Carter was eligible, that would be
No, easier than that if Ken Birch didn't leave.
Okay.
That's – I mean, how big a difference – no, get that out of there, Ken Birch.
Okay.
How big a difference is it if Birch is back this year? Because to me, looking at this team, the way I feel about it, with going up against this schedule and everything, I think that is huge, enormous. I wrote it at the time when he left that it lowered UNLV's ceiling to me, because I felt like that was the piece that they needed. Sitting here today with Birch missing the Miami Heat's roster, and could have come back for this, I still feel that way. They are a lesser team without him, no matter what they're able to accomplish. Fair?
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy was almost on the Miami Heat. Of course, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, but it's not only just that he was good, but he was good in the exact area that they need. I agree with you on that. Like, that is they've kind of cornered themselves into, we have to be a running team. I've been, Dave's been selling it for years, so should get to that eventually anyway, but they don't really have an option now. If they're slow down into a bunch of half-court sets, maybe they executed a lot better than they used to, and that a lot of that can go on the point guard. And so maybe I'm going to be proven wrong there. But I think foul trouble, A, is going to be an issue for Good Luck, who jumps at absolutely everything and is going to have to be the starting center. And then Chris Wood, maybe too. Like, his numbers projected over starters' minutes suggest that he's going to have some issues with that. Same thing, kind of getting the timing down and the blocks for all that stuff. But he is – I think he's going to be UNLV's best player for the first month or two.
Chris Wood.
And yes. And then Vaughn, kind of once he rounds into form, because he did miss a bunch of time this offseason. He's looked shaky at times, just kind of getting into it. But I saw it at Finley. Everybody's kind of seen it in stretches during practice. Like, he's very good, definitely in that kind of top 10 area that he was ranked coming into the season. Case, I know you're kind of
– You guys are being way too rational. Everything you've said, I agree with. I'm just sitting here shaking my head.
Even with what I've said, which is huge.
And NCAA tournament. I don't like – this is one of the few times where I'm going to look all the way down there, since we're still before the season here, because I do feel like just getting there and your performance in there dictates too much whether you had a good year or not. But do you think that UNLV makes it this year? And if they don't, is it a disappointment?
I think it's – to answer your question, I think it's definitely a disappointment if they don't make it, just with the talent they have. And I know the talent's been there before, and they've had bad results. But I just feel like there's a lot of excitement with this team, looking over the schedule, you talk about how tough the non-conference is. They probably have, I'm thinking, five games where they're going to be underdogs. Do you think they need a win? I mean, to make sure that they're on path for the tournament, they got to win one or two of these, right?
They got to win like one or two. That is what
Arizona at home.
They're going to lose that game.
I mean, that would be huge, but yeah. I think that's one of the bigger. I mean, they're going to be a pretty big underdog.
You need to go to Arizona State and win, because that's a very winnable game. Utah is an intriguing one, because that's a team. Look, they were picked second in the Pac-12, right behind Arizona. A lot of people picking them to, you know, kind of be a Sweet 16 type of team. You get them at MGM Grand on December 20th, so right before that Arizona game. I think that's a huge one, because you're not going to Kansas and winning, even though San Diego State did it last year. I'm not buying that. Arizona at home December 23rd. You're not winning that game.
Why not?
Because
it's Arizona's, at home.
Yeah, and they lose at home. It's happened.
I know. Arizona, guess what? They've lost on the road. It happens.
Yeah.
Arizona is not – everybody's just like, get the trophy and engrave their names on it. They're not
– they're not even the preseason number one.
I know.
It's Kentucky.
Well, okay. It is.
If we're looking this prematurely towards the tournament, I think if you were making the one seeds right now, Arizona would be one, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't even looked at the rankings, but I would just think
– but I'm being fair across the board. UNLV, if the Duke game breaks right – UNLV will play three of the preseason top five. I'm not giving them a chance in any of them.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess this is what stands out to me is a lot of years will say like, oh, you know, this team just needs to come together in the non-con. They're going to have their chances in the conference. I just feel like in the Mountain West this year, a lot of these teams are going to beat up on each other. So I feel like the non-conference is actually really, really important for this team. I think they really need a win or two here. And I know that's going to be tough with all the pieces like we've talked about coming together. But, you know, that stands out to me is these games over the next month. Or I guess Arizona and Kansas still more than a month, but are pretty big for this team.
But see, I look at the schedule a little different. I see the league as UNLV. Like before, San Diego State was so much better than UNLV. New Mexico was so much better. The only team
now,
on that,
according to who? Those teams were
according
all,
to me.
Those teams were all on par. Like the last 3 years, basically, those teams were all on par and in the race going to the end. And UNLV would find ways to blow it.
Well, see, right now, looking at the Mountain West, the only team that I think is better than UNLV, without a question, is San Diego State.
I'd agree with that. Without question, because there's a, you know, Colorado State has just as many question marks as UNLV does. Boise just seems like they've kind of reached their peak. Not sure if they can get better, especially replacing Watkins. New Mexico looks primed for a big drop here. I would agree that San Diego State on paper is the only team, you know, definitely ahead.
I just think the ceiling for UNLV is extremely high.
Sure.
I mean, they've got players to where if they pop, something cool could happen. And I think in the disappointment of last year, not making the tournament, you know, losing twice to Reno for somehow and losing to Fresno or whatever it may be, I think that blurries the vision. And everybody's like, well, until they prove it or until Dave Rice becomes a better game day coach or until something changes, UNLV's a middle-of-the-road Mountain West team or UNLV's going to have its hands full. And I look at it totally different. This team has got some talent and a high ceiling, and I think it could pop.
Stop. We're stopping right now.
Stop the show.
Both of you are going to stop saying the word talent right now.
They are talented.
Stop it. I am sick of hearing the word talent with UNLV.
Skilled.
3 years ago, they were talented and underperformed. 2 years ago, they were talented and underperformed. Last year, they were talented. Stop saying talent.
They had some chemistry problems.
Stop saying talent. Talent.
Chemistry, they, you know the periodic chart?
All they do is lead
it was
over
out
also,
of whack.
The periodic chart.
The whatever they periodic got. Table. Quit giving them the benefit of the doubt on talent. Because they have proven as a program, this is not on these individual players because it is such a new roster, but UNLV as an organization under Dave Rice has shown that with, quote, talent, they don't win a regular season Mountain West
Dave Rice was
they
the first-time head coach. He's getting his feet wet, kid.
Yes, He's going to get better and should, but Stott is giving him the benefit of the doubt on talent because that is what creates false expectations that they
fail to live
up to.
Here's my prediction. Will this make you happy? They'll be lucky to beat Fresno and finish sixth in the league.
No, just I think you're crazy if what you're arguing is because of their word that should not be mentioned. They're like automatically pencil in first or second in the conference. I just think there's four or five teams in the conference that look about the same.
It's better to have the word I shouldn't mention than people that have already hit their peak and hopefully they can hit a shot and get lucky and the other team falls off the bus and they got to play their JV cheerleading squad.
But how often does a roster where half of its rotation is freshmen and 80% of its rotation is underclassmen go out and win a regular season conference title?
Fab Five.
Okay, there's one.
That was what, 20-some years ago?
Hey,
it's time, kid. There's one. You got any others for me? Because I don't think it happens very
often.
This
is the Mountain West. They're not winning the NBA South. This is a winnable league.
It is winnable. It was winnable last year and 2 years ago and 3 years ago, and they have yet to win it. So that's – you got to –
They haven't. In fact, they have never won it, the Mountain West.
No, they haven't.
Never. Things will change.
The regular season anyway. They have won tournament titles.
Tournament.
In their home arena.
It's got to be – you have this pessimistic attitude toward
their
team.
It's not – but you are going so far the other way. But the main thing that's got me riled up right now is I have gone out of my way to avoid using the word talent in stories because it has been a crutch.
I'm going to edit one in there tomorrow.
It has been a crutch for this organization, for this program, for fans, all this. Yeah, they're so talented. All right, yeah, the rankings say that they're pretty good as far as the recruits and all that. And what I've seen, I like for a certain style. I'm excited to see it play out. But you gotta be reasonable about this. And you got to take history and apply it. You know, it's not just – they're not in a vacuum this year. You know, we've seen Dave Rice. I like the changes that he's made to his staff. I think they're much better game day than they have been before. I think we're actually going to see some baseline out-of-bounds plays. I'm pretty excited about that, Ray. But I do not want to hear about how they are the most talented team on the floor every night. I'm done with that.
All right, we'll talk.
Yeah, can everyone agree with that?
Brewer says you're being pessimistic, but I just think you're being a little – I mean, are you telling me like this team's going to go 15-3 in the conference? Your rant just makes it sound like they're going to run over everyone. It's just not going
to
happen.
It's tough to win league games. I mean –
It's tough to go on the road. They've got back-to-backs with going Boise to San Diego State and then Albuquerque to Logan, you know, like back-to-back road games with things like that, going even just to Wyoming New Year's Eve, and that's sandwiched in. You know, there's another game in there too, but it's basically sandwiched in between the Arizona game right before Christmas and then Kansas on January 4th. So that's a tough one, which by then could be a very good team. We got to see what Nance has. It's going to be a competitive league race. I picked UNLV, I think, third behind San Diego State and Colorado State. I think they'll finish right around there. Should be in contention by the end. But, boys, I'm really excited for this year. I'm thrilled with the non-conference schedule. I think it's awesome. I love the trips I'm going to be taking, quite honestly, and cannot wait, especially for that January 4th Kansas game. But starting Friday, Morehead State, Rebels need to come out ready. Like if they sleepwalk through it, they're going to be in trouble at halftime, and then it's gonna have a lot of people nervous there in their seats, including one Mr. Ray Brewer. But we will see.
We'll be at a high school game.
We will see how the first weekend plays out here. So UNLV basketball home, Morehead State Friday, football on the road at BYU Saturday, and then basketball back home for Sam Houston State on Sunday. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor. You guys are all talented. Good news.